Here we are in Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara is in the midst of trying to solve this central kasha on Rabbah. How could it be? Rabbah claims that the Tama Takanam Fanechtam is in order to reassure us that the get was done l'shma, Ibrazai. Why would the Tanam have demanded both b'fanechtav and b'fanechtam imanavshach if the Tan of the Mishnah is Reb Meir, Edichsima Karasi, then you should only talk about Chsima. Tan's Mishnah is Reb Elazar, Edimisira Karasi, you should only talk about Chsiva. And Gemara's first solution was maybe the Tan of the Mishnah is Reb Meir, Edichsima Karasi, Minatori require Chsima Lashma. Maybe Midrabana, Reb Meir holds you require Chsiva Lashma as well. We discussed that. That's rejected. Rav Nachman was very clear. According to Rabbi Meir, there is no need, even Midrabana, for Kesiva Lashma. Then the Gemara moves on to the second text, which we're in the middle of right now, and that is, well, maybe the Mishnah goes Lefi Reb Elazar. Eidei Mesira Karasi. The Chosav in Chumash means Kesiva Mamash. Chasima is not required whatsoever. Mishnah in the last parak, Daf Pei Vav, Reb Elazar is clear. A woman gets divorced with a get she'ein bo Eidei Chasima, a get she'ein o Chasim. The Gerushin absolutely are valid. Absolutely are valid. You don't need chasimus. L'chadchila, we encourage you to have chasimus on a get. If they tikkun olam, it's the added layer of protection for the divorcee. She have a shtar raya later on to demonstrate that she was indeed divorced. But the divorce is valid. The act of divorce is valid. The get is valid. The krisis is valid even if the get is eno chasim. The Gemara says something fascinating. The Gemara says, well, while it's true that a get eno chasim is a valid instrument for gerushin, according to Blazar, however, the Amor Rabbi Abba taught us that if they chose to sign the get, sometimes bad signatures are worse than no signatures. No signatures, an unsigned get is valid lefir Blazar. But sometimes an improperly signed get is worse than not signed at all. Taka will be possible in the Rabbi Abba had spoken about mezuyif mitocho. We have Edim signed it who are not kosher. The Gemara is comparing a get signed by Edim Sulim to a get that was signed by Edim Ksherim, but Shelo Lishma. Because that's what our Mishnah is talking about, according to Rabbi. Ensuring that the get was signed l'shma. So putting all the pieces together, Gemara is arguing, well, although it's true the get doesn't have to be signed, but if it was signed, we want to know that it was signed l'shma. Because if it was signed shtol l'shma, Rabbi Lezer would admit that at least midrabanan, that is possible, and that's why you have to say not only b'fanei nichtav, but also b'fanei nechtam, because if there were chasimas, they better have been l'shma. And Tosis, the Tosis, the Yonash Lamota, so he was grappling with, what does this mean? It's not exactly mezuyif mitocho. Get signed by Edim Sulim, so that's what we understand. It's Gemara's later. Mezuyif mitocho is problematic, but it's not mezuyif mitocho. Is it? Is it? Tosis works on it. Tosis ultimately comes to the conclusion, you're right. Edim, Pasala Edim signed the get, Pasala Edim signed the get, so that's taka pasul midrabana mezuyif mitocho gzeira. You might rely on them in other contexts. Over here, it's not the same thing. Over here, it's a different gzeira. Ultimately, Gemara says yisan shalashma. It's a gzeira. You might come to do kasiva shalashma. Let's go back to when Tosfos was originally trying to figure it out. Tosfos referenced a Gemara in Yevamos of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. The truth is that Gemara in Yevamos Lamed Aleph Amud Beis really starts in Gittin. Really starts from Sugis that you already saw in Bikias, we saw in Ian as well. Mishnah on the second parak on Daf Yizayin and in the last parak on Daf Pei Vav, the Mishnayos talk about the idea of writing Zman in a get. You write a get that has to be dated. You can't use an undated get. And the Gemara assumes that that is a problem, like the Mishnah seems to imply. And the Gemara is clear on Daf Yud Zayin, as well as on Daf Chavav, the Ikar Sugya on Daf Yud Zayin. This is the first Sugya after the world of B'fai Nech Fai Nechtam, the first Sugya of the actual Diyum D'Raisa of Gittin. Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. This is also perhaps Rabban. Gemara says you got to have zman and a get. Mitnei ma take no zman begitin. What do you need zman and a get? You give a get. You give a get. It says the husband's name. It says the husband's name. It says the wife's name. Harem utaras haladam. The wife is holding the get. So that's proof that she's divorced. Why do you need to have the date? What's the significance of that? What's the purpose of that? So machlokas amaran. The Amor Rabbi Yochanan says we want to know if there was an act of adultery that took place. We want to be able to figure out was that actual adultery or not. Woman had a boyfriend on the side. We wanted, she was mazana with this other man. We want to know was she married at the time of this nus or not. Either way, it's aser. Either way, premarital relations are also an iser. But if it's extramarital, if she was married, if she was still married to her husband, to Reuven, when she had a physical relationship with Shimon, so then that's an act. Number one, that's a chiyuv misa potentially. If you have edim hasra, it's an act of gilui arayos. And the Rachman Litzlan, the children of Zayim, if there are any children from that union, and she becomes a surah labal, surah labal. There are many, many nafkaminas. So we want to know, and Barosh Rishona, if she was caught, we want to know, was that an act of, was that a capital crime for the man and the woman or not? So the Edim to such an act of znus will remember, need to remember when they witnessed what they witnessed. But the question is, okay, but they don't know was she married or not. I mean, they know she was married. Later on, she was divorced. And was she still married? Was she divorced? Was she married or single at the time of the witnessed act of immorality? So that's going to depend on evidence in the get. That's depend on evidence in the get. So at the Rabbi Yochanan, Rosh Lakish gives a different explanation. Yochanan says, you have to date the get so that we'll know whether indeed she was already divorced at the time that the affair took place, or was she still married? Okay. That's what the Gemara of Yochanan says, get in your Zayin off. You want to take a look, you have it in front of you. Right here, you have a Masechet Gittin. The Mishnah Daf Yizayin says, talks about Nicht Vayom, Nechtem Vayom. First says, Nicht Vayom V'Nechtem Balayla. It goes written during the day and then signed at night. So that's the Machlokas HaTanam is a Kasher Apostle. So Gemara says right away, the Bar Yizayin Ralph, the Itman, the Ma Tiknus Ban Begittin. How come there Chazal Masakin? How come Chazal Masakin Zman and a get? So Yochanan says, Mishum Bas Achoso. Mishum Bas Achoso, that's a specific twist. Let's say that there will be situations where even if the wife cheated on her husband, it's likely the husband will try to falsify evidence to protect her. Let's say there are already blood relatives from before him. The fellow had married his niece. To us, a very, very unusual situation. Bismanayim, it was very typical. A niece and an uncle could be the same age. A much older man marries the daughter of his much older sister. So remember that people got married younger. So there could be, if people get married younger, that means there could be a much greater span of time between siblings. So it wasn't so uncommon to have an uncle and niece that were the same age. Bismanayim, that's not something that we typically do. Bismanatam, but that was typical. As an aside, you should know that the reverse is an Isur Daraisa. An aunt and a nephew is Gilu Arayos, but an uncle and niece is a Hatter Gamer. Why? I do not know. That's what says Tzgeres HaKasa, that's what says in the Chumash. The uncle married his niece. They were the same age. And then things went terribly, horrifically sour. And the niece who's married to the uncle has an affair on the side. And the marriage is over, but he at least wants to protect her from the executioner. So he says, I'll write you a get, and we'll pretend, we'll make up a story that we're already divorced. So that way, he'll save his niece, his wife, from capital punishment. So the Rabbi Yochanan, apparently all these things were common enough that they were milsa d'shchicha, they were misakin, zman, and again. Wow, okay. So that's the din. Rabbi Yochanan said the din is that you have to have zman again. Rabbi Yochanan's reason is to be able to verify whether a particular act of znus was eshes ish or not. Was she ready to divorce or not? If it's not going to be dated, you'll never know. He'll write his wife a get a week later, a month later, and then she'll say, I was ready to divorce. But there's zman and a get, so you know that this get was only written subsequently, and the facts will be clear. That's the sugya in the second parak of Gittin. This makes its way into Yevamos also. Why? In Yevamos, in Daf Lamed Amud Beis in Maseches Yevamos, is a Mishnah that also mentions Zman Begerushin. It also mentions Shtar Kiddushin, but suspiciously, notably, it talks about different cases of a Shtar Gerushin. It talks about different cases of a Shtar Kiddushin. The Mishnah mentions the situation of a get which does not have a Zman. The Mishnah does not mention the situation of a Shtar Kiddushin without Zman, which leads the Gemara to wonder, why? Why do we mention that a get better have a Zman? We didn't mention that the Shtar Kiddushin better have a Zman. Why is that? The Gemara has different suggestions, but Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis, the Gemara says, Rava says, it's because Shtar Kiddushin doesn't need Zman. A get needs a Zman. Shtar Kiddushin doesn't need a Zman. The Gemara says, well, why? So this you saw. If you have Yevamos, you can take a look inside. If not, you saw it already. The Gemara says, Lamed Aleph and Beis and Maseches Yevamos. So how come Chazal or Masakin put a Zman in the get to clarify whether the get was given before or after an act of Znus? How about the other way around? Why not also put a Zman in a Shtar Kiddushin? That way, if she was intimate with some other man, we'll know, did that happen before or after she got married? Rahman al-Islam. Unfortunately, sometimes people give in to their Yitzhar Hara. So it's the same question. Was she married or single when she was intimate with some other man? So it should be parallel. The same way they're Misakin Zman and get. Why weren't they Misakin Zman in Shtar Kiddushin? The Gemara gives two answers. The first answer is the only way to get divorced is with a get. But there are other ways to get married besides the Shtar Kiddushin. Most people, even Bizman HaTalmud, most people did not get married Shtar Kiddushin. Most people got married with Kesef, that's what the Gemara says here. The Rambam wrote 800-900 years ago that in his day it had already been ancient universal minhag Yisrael to only get married with the Kesef, and specifically with Shava Kesef, and not with Shtar. Even as Man HaTalmud, it was relatively rare. The Gemara says, Ruba Bekasmim Yuta Bishtar. As an aside, and some suggest that the reason why it was, maybe even why it was common B'tkuvas HaTalmud, certainly why it became Ungenim, is universal minhag to only get married to Kesef, and specifically with Shava Kesef. You don't give coins, you give a ring, which is worth money. And that's perhaps because, as the Rambam stresses earlier, Kesef is Tarash Rav Peh. Kiddusha Ishtar, Kiddusha Bia, both more clearly in the Psukim. And Kesef is based on Xerah Shav, as Tarash Rav Peh. And already B'tkufas HaMishnah, they sometimes went out of their way to demonstrate that we don't believe in the Tzdukim, that we reject the Tzdukim, we subscribe to Tarash Rav Peh. Every once in a while the Mishnais will have that. They went out of their way to Lahotzi Miliban Shal Tzdukim. Coming up soon, Mishnais say in Perek Rishmal, Parak in Menachas that has all the dinim of Karban HaOmer coming up in less than 2 weeks, the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, Tezai Nisan. So the Mishnah say there were various things they did to highlight the way they were doing the Ketziras HaOmer, and that was, the Gemara says, to stress that we reject the position of the Tzdukim. The Tzdukim thought that you have to interpret the Psukim literally. The Merchos HaShabbos, you have to bring the Karban HaOmer on Sunday, rather than understanding the Tarash Rav Peh teaches that it's, and as the evidence from elsewhere in Tanakh indicates, that it's the day after Yom Tov, the first day of Chol HaMoed. That's why the Tzdukim tried, you remember from Rosh Hashanah, the Tzdukim tried to manipulate the calendar to see to it that Pesach would fall on a Shabbos, so that the Prushim would end up doing what the Tzdukim wanted them to do, which is bring the Korban HaOmer on a Sunday. That's the source of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus. It's because it can no longer, because the Tzdukim were trying to finagle things and falsify things, that they had to send shluchim, they couldn't use, they had to get rid of the torch system. All because of the Karban. That's why, and that's part of that the Tzdukim assumed, therefore, that Shavuos would always be on a Sunday. The Pentecost, the festival of 50, would always be on a Sunday. And that's one of the elements of Sadduceism, Sadducute, that was absorbed into early Christianity. That's I think the one of the historical sources for the focus on Sunday in early Christianity. It all goes back to the Tzukim. So there are various things that were done already in Mishnayos and Gemara tells. There are various things they did lahotim libushal Tzukim, and then there's a similar issue in the days of the late Gaonim and early Rishonim, the Rambam. A lot of the Rambam's public work as a Rav was fighting against the Karaites, the Karaim, who were the revived. It revived the idea that Tzukim, the same apikursus, to reject the Torah Shel Ha-Peh. Come all sorts of ideas based on their own interpretations. Everyone interprets. The question whether you have the traditional interpretation or make up your own interpretation. So the Tzukim, the Karaim, didn't believe in Kedusha Kesef. So the Hotzim Liban Shal Karaim, and maybe even Hotzim Liban Shal Tzukim, perhaps. So in B'tkuvas HaRambam, it may well be that Lahotzi Milibashal Karam, Klal Yisrael accept universally to Davka be Makash Bekesef, not Bishtar, and specifically with Shava Kesef and not Kesef. Lahotzi Milibashal Karam, to reinforce that we accept the validity of the Masorah of Torah Shel Ha-Peh, the Masorah of the Matik HaShmua. But the Gemara says they were ready, B'tkuvas HaTalmud, if most people are Makash Bekesef, Amir or Makash Bishtar, maybe that was also Lahotzi Milibashal Tzukim, perhaps. Be that as it may, the Gemara says, look, it's going to work in a get. Any couple that gets divorced with a shtar. So if you insist on a zman, so you can never falsify the date of the divorce. But in terms of verifying the date of a kiddushin, if you have a shtar, so you can demand that people write a zman in the shtar. But if you're mekadesh bekesef, there's no record. And most people are mekadesh bekesef. So the Gemara says, number one, they were never misakin zman in a shtar kiddushin, because if you want to make up a story, just be mekadesh bekesef. Okay. Most of the time, you're not going to have a shtar kiddushin. Number two, the Gemara says, it wouldn't even work. Why wouldn't it work? Because who's going to hold on to such a shtar? You have a shtar. A shtar gerushin, a woman gets divorced, the Gemara in Daf Yud Zayin, a woman gets divorced, so she is motivated to want to show, I was already divorced at the time of this nus. She's going to pull out the get. But if the get has a date in it, so then she can't falsify evidence that way. But the Gemara says, on the other side, for a shtar gerushin would help. There she wants to, it's in her best interest, now that Rachman Tzlon, she had an affair with another man, it's in her best interest to either claim that she died later or not at all. She's not really interested in taking out the shtar kiddushin at all. Or she would be glad to cut off the zman at the top if she has the shtar kiddushin. And then either it doesn't have the zman or else we'll disqualify the shtar because it's been tampered with. So it wouldn't help for her to hold on to a shtar kiddushin with the zman. It wouldn't necessarily help for the husband to hold on to it if he's the uncle. So what's the only other option? You put a zman in the shtar kiddushin. Who's going to hold on to it? Who do you trust? Not him and not her. The Gemara says, well, maybe you give it to the Eidim, the third party. The Gemara doesn't raise the notion of giving it to a Beis Din. The Gemara says, give it to the Eidim. The Eidim is shtar. The shtar, normally the woman who is mekabel as a shtar would hold on to the shtar. Maybe you could have made a takana, the Gemara says, that what? Put zman in every shtar kiddushin. And be misakin that after the Eidim, after the husband gives it to the wife, the Eidim hold on to the shtar. Gemara says, and that would have been, we're trying like, what takana would we have, how would we have been misakin zman in the shtar kiddushin? It says, well, we could have given it to the head, be misakin to write zman in the shtar kiddushin, and be misakin also that after the woman gets it, she has to hand it over to the Eidim. So the Gemara says, they could take questions later. The Gemara says, well, that wouldn't work either. Why wouldn't that work? And here we come to the line that our Tosin Davdala Manal quoted. But all that background is necessary to appreciate this line. The Gemara says, well, you're going to give it to the Eidim. That's going to create new problems. What new problem would that create? Of course, I don't understand. If the Eidim remember when the shtar kiddushin was given, so you don't need a zman in the shtar, just bring the Eidim. Ask the Eidim when they get married. What's your issue? Oh, maybe they don't remember. Maybe they're not going to remember the date. But if they have the shtar, they can bring out the shtar. The Gemara says, yeah, but you run the risk of the following occurring. Basically, I'd say they when they get married, and the Aiden will give testimony. They'll say, "Oh, we remember she got married on Gimel Tavis." How do they know that she got married on Gimel Tavis? If they remember she got married on Gimel Tavis, okay, it's great. That's valid. But if what actually happens, they looked at their star, they were told, you have to hold on to the star. So they figured, okay, this is our job to hold on to the star. And they look in the star, and they chazer the star, and the star said Gimel Tavis. And when Beis Din asks them, when did the couple get married? They say, Gimel Tavis. But how do they know that knowledge? Not because they remember it, but because they read it in the star. Of course, it's, if they just remember something that they saw on a star, but they come to Beis Din and say, we remember the facts, that's terrible. That's unacceptable. So that's why there's no good way to Misakan Zman in a Shtar Kiddushin. That's what Gemara says. There's no good way. We all know why they weren't Misakan Zman in a Shtar Kiddushin, because there's no good way to actually implement it. Because you're not going to have Zman in a Shtar Kiddushin and give it to the wife to hold on to. She's not motivated to bring forth a valid document. You're not going to give it to the husband to hold on to. You give it to the Eidim. If you give it to the Eidim, you run the risk. The Eidim will come to Beis Din and say, dastardly Eidus. What's this dastardly Eidus the Eidim will say?
I read it in the
Shabbat. Then Tosa says, if they will come and tell us, we saw that the star says X, maybe that's legitimate. But if they're going to come and say just the information, Ki'il, they know it. I come and ask the Eidim, when did the couple get married? Eidim will say, Gimel Tavis. But really, they only know it because they saw on the star that's dastardly Eidus. We would never want them to say such horrific Eidus, and therefore we cannot be Misakin Zman in the Shtar Kiddushin and hand the star, make a rule that Eidim have to hold on to star because this is what might happen. A horrific outcome. So as Tosis, come again? What was the horrific outcome? A horrific outcome. We can't possibly misakin zman in a shtar kiddushin because chas v'sham is galita. Horrible, horrible, unintended consequences. The Eidim will say the truth. Why is that so bad? And you come and say the truth. It's not the truth. Our chashash is not that anyone is saying false data. Our concern is what? That there's the real Eidim are holding on to a valid shtar that says the truth. The Zman is in the Shtar, it's an accurate Zman, and when Eidim are brought to Beis Din, they're going to say the accurate Zman. So what's wrong? They shouldn't have said something they don't know. Okay. Yeah. But Lomaisa, they're saying the Emes. Mean, so it's wrong, it's a Lifnei Iver, that they're being slightly Meshaker. Maybe. So, the way Tosis puts it, in our Tosis, here, on Daf, Dalam, and Aleph, Tosis says, you're not, Beis Din is not allowed to act, FLP, Shahadavar Emes, Ein Lasos, Ella Be'edus, Kosher. You're not allowed to act unless you have kosher witnesses. And Tosa says, as you see in the Gemara, Yivam Muslim and Alpham and Beis. That's interesting. A little surprising. Rabbi Yochanan points out, Rabbi Yochanan talks about a little bit in the Shiur above Basra, and more so in Kovetz Saaris, as I mentioned, Kovetz Shumer are the sheer notes of the Talmidim of Ranovich. Kovetz Aris was a sefer written by Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman himself. Amasech Yivamos. I think there are Jews who will guard the way to learn Yivamos so that they can learn Kovetz Aris. Not advocating that as a position. But Kovetz Aris is a very exciting sefer. And he seems to have managed to sneak a whole lot of Kol Tarakula. He found some way to connect many, many sugyas to Gemara or Taisa and Yivamos. He talks about everything. So Simon Chav Zayin is all about Daf Lamed Aleph. It's a very, very, very rich block. The last paragraph of Simon Chav Zayin in Kovetz Aris, Simon Chav Zayin Ostes, he says, aha! He says, Tosfos and Yivamos, Tosis, says Tosis and Gittin, Daf Dalet, our Tosis, quotes this Gemara in Yavamis that that Beis Din can't act unless they have kosher edus. But again, remember, of course, Beis Din is forbidden to make a call without having kosher edus. But what we're saying is, it would be terrible if Beis Din acted thinking they have kosher edus, when in fact the edus is not kosher, but it still is true. We're gonna make sure not to chas v'shalom lead the situation where Beis Din gives a correct psak based on true facts, but facts that they got through edus that was possible, but unbeknownst to them. What's so terrible? And Rabbi Chanan points out that our Gemara, one way to maybe phrase what he says, our Gemara is talking about, our Gemara Yevamos is talking about the how. That's what Tosfos quotes. Rabbi Chanan points out there are two other Gemaras in Bava Basra that talk about the who and the when. Gemara in this ninth paragraph of Bava Basra, Kuf Nun Tes, Amin Aleph, talks about a whole complex case. You have a shtar that was signed by someone, and then he later marries one of the Edim marries the daughter of one of the parties to the case. So he becomes the son-in-law, one of the parties to the case. So the Gemara is discussing, can he be mekayim his own chasima? Maybe he cannot be mekayim his own chasima, because now, by the time we want to be mekayim the shtar, he has since gotten married to one of the parties in the case. So now he's a karov pasul leedus. But maybe he cannot be mekayim his own chasima. For him to come give edus now is a problem, but someone else, Akiva, can come and kind of say, oh, I recognize that guy's signature. The fact that he signed is valid, even though he has since become a relative. Why? The guy became a ganav later, we might retroactively not be so willing to believe him even before him. Maybe he was a mashaker then too. But the Gemara says, it's because krovim, the fact that krovim are psulim le'edus, the Gemara says, Moshe and Aaron are also postulators. Moshe and Aaron are also postulators. You worry that Moshe and Aaron weren't believable people? You seem to think that they were pretty honest, reliable people. Our religion depends heavily on the veracity and honesty of Moshe and Aaron. We were pretty convinced that Moshe and Aaron were incredibly honest people. I would more quickly believe Moshe and Aaron, even though they were brothers, or either Moshe or Aaron, talking about, you know, a relative of theirs, then I would believe two other fine Jews who are not related to each other. Moshe and Aaron. So Gemara Bava Basra Kuf Tesav says, it's true, but Gezeras HaMelech, when Rebbe Gershom stresses, it's Gezeras HaKasav, you're right. Karov is not just because I think they're lying. Why do I not believe relatives? So sometimes you are worried that there's, the guy is being made about his father-in-law, about his brother, about his son. You know, maybe he's making up a story to cover for his relative. But the Gemara in Kuf Nun Tes, Amin Aleph Bava Basra stresses, even when there's no concern of Sheker, that's a rule. Even if I'm convinced that the Edom are telling the truth, the rule is, Gezeras HaKasav, Moshe and Aaron are not acceptable. Krovim are not acceptable. Krovim are not acceptable. That's a question of who. Earlier in Bava Basra, Kuf Yud Gimel, Kuf Yud Aleph, there was a question of when. There's an intriguing situation where Gemara says three people are sitting with a Jew who's Rachman Tzlan at the end of his life, and he's giving an oral will. Matna Shchiv Mira. He's delineating, I want this piece of artwork to go to this fellow, I want this to go to that person. And he's articulating who should get what after he passes away. The Gemara says that you have two people there at the time, two men there, so they could serve as edim subsequently. They made in front of a beis din that when Eliezer Gershom was on his deathbed, he told us that the following property should go to the following people. Matnas Shchivim. If there are three people there, then Gemara says, well, they could either be Edim, who will come to Beis Din. They could even write a shtar as Edim and sign it and come to Beis Din subsequently after the fellow passes away. Or, if there are three people, they could serve as a Beis Din. So they could not, they don't have to be made later. They are the Bezdin. And they're already shtelling the bet. This is the Ma'an Shechivra. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Only if, the Gemara says, this happens during the daytime. The Gemara has a comment about Bayom versus Balayla. The Gemara says, what, if a person dies at night, there's no Nachla? If he dies during the day, there's Nachla? But says, no. What he means is the following. The Gemara clarifies, the Gemara comes to the conclusion, that if a fellow on his deathbed makes a statement to three men, that here's who I want to get Ma'an Shechivra to, if it's Bayom, so then they could assume the status of Dayanim. It's a done deal. But if it's Balayla, Shiva's base cannot begin Balayla. So if it's Balayla, they cannot now say we're constituting a Bezdin because it's at night. So they can only take on the role of Eidim. And then tomorrow morning, Ein Eid Nasa Dayan, once they were in the role of Eidim, they cannot redeem themselves as Dayanim. So now that they've served as Eidim at night, so they're going to have to come to find three other individuals who will serve as Dayanim, who will be Makabel their Eidim. Ein Eid Nasa Dayan. Those of you, anyone here learned Masechta Rosh Hashanah, she came across there as well. Ein Eid Nasa Dayan.
I'm going to put it in my podcast whether it's actual Eid or Royal Eid.
I said, I don't want to get into Rosh Hashanah Makas right now. But be that as it may, certainly if they actually stepped, leave out some of the complexity of the sugya. If they stepped into their role as Eidim at night, Ein Eid Nasa Dayan the next morning. Says Rav Chanan, I don't understand. They know the truth. They know the truth. They saw their own eyes. They have seen it during the day. They could have said, we are Dayanim right now. So when the fellow called them in to give his last will and testament, it was nighttime. Okay, that is what it is. It was nighttime. So they listened at night. The fellow calls in the chevra kedusha, says, I have things to tell you. So they listen. And the next morning, now they want to reconcile themselves as a basin. No, you already serve as an aid. What does that mean? But they know the facts. What does it matter? We believe Aiden tells what they saw at night. It's not as though we think people don't remember what they saw at night. So what does it mean? So the how, the who, and the when. All three. There seem to be these strange limitations. And what's really strange, and we'll close with this Gemara for now, we'll have to solve this tomorrow, but let's wrap up the Kasha right now, is the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Samachay, the very, very central Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara says, a Mekadik, a whole discussion, debate, earlier Amara, later Amara, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that a boy and a girl are dating, maybe they're already engaged. Fellow's so overwhelmed by his love for his kala, doesn't want to wait for the wedding date. They're at a restaurant, and he says to her, darling, told her he went that day to buy the wedding ring. And in a moment of impulsivity, he says, darling, I want to be mekadesh you, I want to marry you right now. I'm not waiting until the wedding date. Here's a ring. Whoa. Not a good idea. A lot of people will be very unhappy that they're planning a wedding that got sort of undercut. Okay, not a wise idea, but is it valid? Is it valid? So let's imagine he's sitting at a restaurant, the two at the same table in a restaurant, and there was a couple next to them. The only people who could see what was going on was the couple next to them, a man and woman next to them. So there's one kosher aid who was watching. And then they realize the next morning, what did we do? We got carried away. Okay, romance is beautiful. Everything in the right measure and everything at the right time. They come to Rav the next morning and say, I think we got married last night. It's a little awkward. And now what? So lovely and awkward. So the Rav's going to ask them, well, the first question they asked him was, well, who else was watching? They say, there's one kosher aid watching. The man at the next table, the only other person who saw. So the din is, the Gemara says, Kiddush Tamachay, they are not married. The boy and the girl both say, he gave her the ring, and he said, Rehman Kodeshously. He owned the ring. The ring was a Shavu Pruta. It does that. We believe them. The Gemara says, we might believe them that those events occurred, but it doesn't matter because it didn't make a change. That we believe them that he gave her a ring and that he said Rehman Kodeshously, but that doesn't make them marry. Just like if he said in front of 100 Edom, I'm going to marry you right now by saying hocus pocus. And he waves his hands there and says hocus pocus. So we, Edom saw, we believe that he wanted to marry her, and he and she may have both thought that act married them, but it didn't because it wasn't a valid act of kedushin. The Gemara says the same is true. If there was a valid act of kedushin, but it wasn't witnessed by two Edom, that is invalid. That's what we call Edus Lakim Adavar. It didn't work if it wasn't witnessed. But the Gemara says that's not normally the case. Normally say Lo Ivru Sahadi El Shakri. Normally in other areas of Halacha and Dinim Amanus, we just need the Edom to know what happened. But if the truth is the truth, whether the Edom saw it or not, something unique to Kiddushin may be getting is this idea of Edus Lakim Hadavar. So Rav Chanan says, I don't understand. So if it's not Edus Lakim Hadavar, if it's to know later, Labira Adav, know later what happened, so the facts are the facts whether they were witnessed or not. So why is it that we're so worried that Beis Din will paskin correctly based on true facts that they arrived at through inaccurate evidence? Something we're going to have to solve with Shem tomorrow.